We're giving away two audio DVDs of the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. That's almost 8 hours of teaching. Here's how you can win. Find the Issues Etc. podcast at the iTunes store. Click Ratings and Reviews and write a review. Then send the text of your review to contest@issuesetc.org. The two listeners with the best reviews will receive the audio DVD of the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. We'll announce the winners on Labor Day.
They think sometime in the next 5 or 10 years, gay marriage is going to happen. So if that's true, why did they have to destroy the initiative process in order to have gay marriage happen a few years sooner?
We step into the church in our own lifetimes, and the church goes on and on and on and will go on through eternity. It's not ours to tamper with and change.
That's where our certainty is. It's in the death of Jesus. And I know that God loves me because I know that Jesus died for me.
Western New York State Independent Baptist pastors love Issues, etc.
The stories coming out of Egypt are a bit confusing. It's hard to follow the constant overturn. Who's on whose side? Of course, the U.S.'s reaction to these things is downright perplexing. There are Christians who, according to the latest headlines, have had their churches burned, they've had their businesses burned, and they are being killed, not just one or two. And this isn't random street violence. These seem to be coordinated attacks over the last 24 to 48 hours. Who is behind it, and why such a mild response from those who ought to be watching out for human rights, especially religious rights, in countries like Egypt? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in on this Friday afternoon. It is the 16th of August. Raymond Ibrahim is going to join us for the first few minutes. We're going to get his thoughts on the recent attacks on Christian churches, Coptic Christian churches in Egypt. That's the largest Christian population in the Middle East, by the way. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway will be with us in a few minutes. We're going to talk with her about media coverage of the churchwide assembly of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, in particular its election of the first female presiding bishop. And then Pastor Matt Harrison will react to that. And he will help us remember 17th century Lutheran theologian Johann Gerhard, remembered tomorrow by the church. Joining us to talk about recent attacks on Christians in Egypt, Raymond Ibrahim. He's a Shulman Fellow at the David Horowitz Freedom Center, and he's author of the book Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians. Raymond, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd. Good to be with you.
Who do you suspect is behind these most recent attacks against Coptic Christians in Egypt?
Well, it's really not open to suspicion. Who's behind it is basically Muslim Brotherhood, Morsi members and supporters, people who are angry that Morsi is no longer in power, people who are upset that the Muslim Brotherhood and their Islamist agenda have been ejected from power. So it's basically all these forces, or in a word, the Islamists of Egypt are the ones who are behind all this. And this is, you know, just totally documented in the fact that the Muslim Brotherhood, from its supreme leader or general guide, as he's known, Muhammad Badia, to the spiritual father of the Brotherhood, Sheikh Yusuf al-Qaradawi, who's one of the most popular theologians of Islam, to al-Qaeda's leader, the Egyptian, Ayman Zawahiri, they have all called on attacks on the Christian Egypt, the Coptic Christians of Egypt. And that's what you're seeing is happening right now. It's up, last I saw or heard, it's up to 70 churches and or monasteries or Christian bookstores have all been attacked, burned. Christians are being killed. I saw an interview in Arabic, a woman weeping and crying. She's a widow. All her children have been slaughtered, and all because they're Christians. So who it is, we know who it is. It's the Islamists.
What does it appear their goal is?
Well, there are several factors here. One is Egypt are always scapegoats for Islamists. The Islamists and the Brotherhood do not want to admit the fact that the people who ousted them, the vast majority of them, were fellow Muslims. It's hard for them to rationalize this logic. So what they do is they really point at the Christian minority and say, well, they're ultimately at fault. They're the ones who did this. And then they lambast the Coptic Pope, Tawadros, and demonize him. Now he's an actual Pope who's in hiding for his life. And so the first thing is it's always easy to point at them. The second thing is when you attack Christians, when the Islamists or the Brotherhoods do what they're doing, and then let's say the military tries to defend them, then that actually adds more fuel to the fire, because they have the weapon, the Brotherhood that is, to say, look, see, even the military is on the side of the Christians against us. And so they use that for propagandistic purposes. And so that's really what you got going on. And they're scapegoated. They're easy, soft targets. And by attacking them, you can also you get away with it. This is how it's always been, even under Mubarak. You attack a church, you burn a church. I just posted a video of a church just set on fire, flames everywhere, and it took hours before the fire ever appeared. And this is typical because they don't want to seem to be pro-Christian, which, of course, would further demonize them. And ultimately, they're just trying to throw the country into a civil war. That is their goal right now. They want to turn Egypt into another Syria, and then they want to portray themselves as the Syrian jihadis have been portrayed in the Western media as freedom fighters, then likely U.S./Western aid. That's their own. So they're really rocking for a civil war.
So the Muslim Brotherhood there, and there's no doubt about these attacks being coordinated. They happened in many places, essentially over the course of about a 24-hour period. The Muslim Brotherhood appears to be watching very carefully not only how their co-religionists in other countries have been behaving, but how the U.S. has been reacting to it?
Almost certainly. You have to understand, the Brotherhood are masters at propaganda, and they have a very powerful propagandistic tool, which is Al Jazeera. Al Jazeera, you may have heard, the narrative in the West is Al Jazeera is trying to report reality, and the evil Egyptian military is kicking them out and barring them because they want to engage in atrocities. The fact is, and I've seen this firsthand, Al Jazeera is completely warping and misinterpreting what's happening and really demonizing the Egyptian military. I'm not saying that the military is not attacking and doing what it's doing, but they've been really warping events to very much create this image of a very innocent brotherhood that is not doing anything. I'll give you a quick example. Early on, when the June 30 revolution took place and millions of Egyptians marched calling for the ouster of Morsi, Al Jazeera took those pictures and disseminated them, and Western media picked it, and Al Jazeera portrayed it as pro-Morsi protesters to give the image that there are so many millions who do want to keep Morsi, when in fact they were just hundreds of thousands that came out, as opposed to, according to some estimates, 30 million who came out. And they've also been, there's evidence now that the Brotherhood has actually been killing its own members to frame the military, and there's video footage of this. And, of course, none of this you'll get from Al Jazeera. What you'll get is this image of the Brotherhood camp. Now Western media following Al Jazeera are portraying those camps that were dispersed as sit-ins, where Muslim Brotherhood are holding vigils, when, in fact, in those quote-unquote sit-ins, the Muslim Brotherhood was enforcing Sharia law. It chopped one man's finger off. It raped women in the name of Islam with a fatwa. It mass-murdered people, and their bodies are now being found hidden deep beneath Rabah al-Adawiyah, which is the name of their main sit-in. And so, they're using the propaganda tool of Al Jazeera, which has a very, Western mainstream media follows its lead, and they're creating a very different image. So, in short, when I watch Arabic, Egyptian, independent videos and reports, and then I read what the American Western media is saying, I feel like I'm reading about two different events that have really nothing to do with each other.
Is there anything that the current military leadership there in Egypt can do to protect these churches and the Coptic Christians?
Well, they can, stand up for them. They can protect them by posting guards and police and security. And to my understanding, in some cases, they are doing this. And it's a very difficult situation right now, and it's very difficult from an image point of view for the military. Because, like I said, Egypt is an Islamic country, so the people who ousted the Brotherhood, most of them are Muslims who do want to identify with a moderate form of Islam that is not necessarily hostile to fellow Christians. And this is how it's been in the tradition in the last at least few decades in the modern era. But the Islamists, when they do this, they put the finger on the military and on the moderates, because once the moderates and the military and so forth come to the aid of Christians, this actually violates one of the most important doctrines in Islam, which is called wala wa bara, which is basically that Muslims must always side with Muslims and never side with infidel fellow Muslims. So when they military sides or tries to help Christians, then that is immediately bad PR for them. And the Brotherhood and the Islamists all use that to. So this is why it's a very bad situation, that it makes it even harder for the military and the government to come to the aid of the Christians.
What do you expect is going to happen here in the immediate future?
Well, it all depends. If no other country interferes, it's an internal affair, I'm fairly certain that the Egyptian military can neutralize the Brotherhood. You have to remember, the Brotherhood and all these Islamist organizations, ever since their founding, belonged and been in prison cells. Why? Because this is what they do. What we're seeing has happened so many times in Egypt and other countries. Once Islamists are given power, are given freedom, are given leave, they immediately do what you're seeing right now. And this is why all these people, Morsi himself, to all of his, these are all Brotherhood members who actually were in jail for the last few years. And then they came out from jail and went to leave Egypt. And this is why we're in a huge mess. Or that's why Egypt's in a mess. So let alone, though, I believe the military can neutralize them. However, the fear is that a country like America, which has openly, under the Obama administration, been very supportive of Morsi and the Brotherhood, and now, you know, grandstanding about the human rights of the Brotherhood, and, of course, saying a word of 70 churches being lit on fire, if they try to use what's happening as an excuse to intervene into Egypt's internal affairs, then who knows what could happen.
Raymond Ibrahim is Shulman Fellow at the David Horowitz Freedom Center, author of the book Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians. You can find out more about this book under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Raymond, thank you.
Thanks a lot, Todd. Take care.
When we come back on this Friday afternoon, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway of GetReligion.org is going to join us. We're going to talk about how the media is covering the church-wide assembly of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, meeting this week and making headlines by electing the very first female presiding bishop of that relatively young, it's only a 25-year-old church body, but largest Lutheran church body in the United States. We'll also talk about how the media has covered its decline as well. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway next.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, sells CDs and audio downloads of teachings by some of the top Lutheran theologians in the country? Check out Logia's 99-cent download of the month at shop.logia.org. Shop.logia.org. You'll also find books published by Luther Academy and, of course, the quarterly Logia Journal at shop.logia.org. Continuing education for the confessional Lutheran, shop.logia.org.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, WittenbergAcademy.org, to find out more.